Blog Talk Radio.
Yaumanuk, Merkut Yaumanuk, Seurud Yaumanuk, Sharemeneb Inba, Enka Yaumanuk, Merkut Yaumanuk, Seurud Yaumanuk, Sharemeneb Inba, Enka Yaumanuk, Merkut Yaumanuk, Seurud Yaumanuk,
Shalom, peace and freedom. Welcome to another edition of Wat Dao. Almost said Nubia Goddess Rising. My former podcast. I am Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku, and it is a pleasure to be with you again on this Thursday. And, you know, life brings you so many challenges. Right now, I am listening to, and hope that you all don't end up picking up through the show, my street being ripped up. I'm amazed how they'll just come and start doing stuff and, you know, you just have to endure it. But, I mean, you know, I guess it's progress, I suppose. I went outside and asked exactly what was going on because there are a number of trucks on the street of varying sizes and all making all kinds of wonderful, interesting sounds and just ripping up the street on this chilly but warmer day. Still there's a lot of snow out there. And so it turns out they're putting in a new gas line. So hopefully they'll do their jobs well, and this block will be safe, because, you know, sometimes things happen. Anyway, so I'm hoping that you all are having a wonderful, bliss-filled, wisdom-filled day as we are approaching the winter solstice. The term for winter solstice in the Kemetic language is Nen, N-E-N. It's very interesting because you're talking about two water waves. The N that's depicted as a water wave, double water wave, which makes the N an N sound. So it's either Nen or N-N. And what's interesting about that is that generally when you talk about the solstice, you talk about stillness and not moving energy unless it's a thing where you are in place, meditating, contemplating. But while you are doing that, however, if you do it the right way, you are absolutely moving energy. We'll talk about how you are able to effectively move energy in your life by going into meditation, contemplating your life, and focusing on what needs to be changed. Because simply by changing your mind, you change the energy of the circumstances within you and around you. Okay, so let's, however, begin with prayer. We'll also be continuing our conversation on Jehuti, the great peacemaker, and how he relates to stillness, and continuing to talk about inner peace and giving you more info about who Jehuti, the Ibis, the wise man, the peacemaker, the arbiter, really is, and how he can effectively help you in changing your life. When you come to understand the energies of the guardians, then you see how they are applicable to life today, and that it is not just an ancient notion that sages of ages ago put down, but that it is for the sagacity of your life and practical application into your life today. That's what makes good spirituality timeless, where it is applicable to then and to now and to tomorrow. Give thanks and praises. Let's open in prayer. We're going to start with the Lord's Prayer. Oh, let me just quickly mention Yes, I know that many of you are still waiting for the video broadcast of the of Ketsu, our Kemetic ceremony or liturgy that I had promised. And, you know, the thing is, I'm learning now, you got to be careful with the promises when it comes to technology, because I have been, you know, I almost said warring with my computer, but that's not quite right. I have been making all kinds of new levels of peace with my computer and getting in sync with the energy and what it needs in order to continue to live so that I may get my work done in sharing information from a technological standpoint with you all. And the reason that I recorded the show or the ketsu or the liturgy, the ritual, the ceremony, is because we were snowed out on Sunday here when we were going to have our church service. We started our service over at ReFile headquarters in Newark, New Jersey, 269-271 South 9th Street, South 9th Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07103, for those of you who need to put it in the GPS. Services from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., alternating Sundays. And you can go to the Akeru Kemetic Temple.info website to get the schedule for when we will be there, exactly which Sunday we will be there. So it's twice a month. Some months it's three times because of the alternating factor. But give thanks. We're excited about that. But we found that because of the snowstorm that happened the day before, that we weren't able to really get around. People were snowed in. At the headquarters, there were icy conditions, and it hadn't been shoveled out yet. And so I came up with the idea of making it a video, a truncated version of the service without the drumming, without the healing session, and without all the songs and all this. But so at least you have an idea of what Kemetic liturgy is. So it's coming. Y'all pray for me, all right? Hopefully it'll be done today or tomorrow, but I've been working on it every single day. And, of course, you know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and although I prefer to think of that as being rather sashat. Sashat, sashat or sashata is all about making sure that systems behind the scenes are running properly, the schematics, bringing things to a new level of order, and communicating in a new way, in this new way of technology. She was the woman of letters and who invented writing. Oh, and let me just quickly say, it is my understanding from what I've read online and from what other people have brought to me that there is a notion out there that women should not read. I've shared this a few shows ago, and writing was invented by a woman, okay? Sashat is of letters. You'll find out more about her role with Jehuti today. And writing and reading, that's our thing, okay? So anyway, the whole idea of communicating and making sure that it's communicating in the most effective way. So pray for me and my computer. Give thanks. Perhaps someone will donate a new computer. Okay, let's open in prayer. The Lord's Prayer, my translation of it. Our mother and father, Necheru, who exist in and are of heaven. Your names are sacred. Your kingdom come. Your will is done. On earth as in heaven. El dinu cherupen, give us this day, kaunu, our daily bread. Nechat en achau, have mercy on our misgivings. Sher nechat nu achainu, as we pardon our transgressors. Udabnu em esfet, turn us from evil. Nechem em etet, rescue us from folly. Sutanichenu, netrelchenu, netrichenu, your kingdom, your power, your glory and divinity. Nekek, forever and ever. Yemen, Yemenit. Amen. The 42 principles of Ma'at, or Ma'at. and the Chilechmait, Tuamait, Perdi, Hekechmait, Emherupin. I will not do wrong. I will not steal. I will not immerse myself in depression. I will not violate another being physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I will not hoard, disrespect, abuse, or misuse the land. I will not waste precious food. I will not waste precious water. I will not jealously desire to obtain that which is not mine. I will not eavesdrop or pry into matters outside the dictate of Nichir. I will not defile or debase my purity. I will not abuse my sexuality. I will not engage in infidelity with another man or woman's mate. I will not engage in sexual fantasies or sexual acts with a child. I will not cause needless terror. I will not be arrogant and egoistic. I will not act with selfish, destructive aggression. I will not cultivate a quarrelsome nature. I will not take a life outside of my age, nor disrespect the life force. I will not cause the shedding of tears. I will not sow seeds of regret. I will not mistreat children. I will not mistreat animals. I will not be vengeful and angry except for a just cause within my age. I will not be easily incited to action or contention. I will not uphold an untruth on or against someone else's behalf. I will not lie. I will not raise my voice unnecessarily. I will not speak maliciously against another being. I will not exaggerate. I will not talk too much. I will not act with sneaky manipulation. I will not be impatient or judge in haste. I will not entertain impure thoughts. I will not wish evil upon another being. I will not perform negative energy work. I will not turn my ears away from words of truth. I will not desecrate holy places. I will not desecrate holy traditions. I will not steal from or neglect giving to the temple offerings. I will not rob from the deceased. I will not blaspheme the Most High Nature. I will not betray my venerated ancestors. Homage to Ray, we honor the life force that flows within us. Iritu invocations. Niset Iritu, Urut, Urud. Nisi Ardi, I invoke security. Usakrer. Nisi Sheri Ech Shabart Jeser, I invoke joy and divine flow. Tungti. Nisi Peret Enchat Ib Ejeser, I invoke courage and a divinely aligned will. Hat. Nisi Merjeser, I invoke divine love. Hefret. Nisi Ma'akeru Jeser, I invoke divine correct speech. Nisi Emyu Katwab, I invoke pure thoughts. Kerit. Nisi Jeser, I invoke divinity. Anacharak Nacharu, Dua Nacharu. Erdine Cheru, Meedanu, Ankuja Saneb, Mer Urek Echetepu, Im Anki, Im Hauni, Im Kredi, Im Hau Akeru, Im Hau Kepra, Im Hau Kemet, Im Hau Taurt, Shekinu, 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 Twau, Twau, Twau. Thanks and praise is working through a sore throat. Prayer to the ancestors. And the Chirak Yakut, and the Chirak Shepsu, Tua Yakut, Tua Shepsu, Erdi Yakut Eshepsu, Rek Hek Ekahu, Mer Neferet Ketepu, Urek Ekemet Anu, Anukut, M Shepsunebu, Sekinu, 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 Dwau, Dwau, Dwau. Finally, our prayer to the Kemetic Water Spirits of Light. Akeru Temple is the only Kemetic Water Temple in modernity and is the utmost authority on Kemetic Water traditions. Give thanks and praises. And the Chirak in Jitunipu, Tua in Jitunipu, Anuk in Jitunipu, Yei Ebuab, Irini Hatjaser, Tua Semi, Erdi Anknefer, Wachnefer, Mernefer, Ich Enunefer, Yati, Heki, Ureki, Semishas Psia, Mesef Maet, M Anki, Anuk Imakut, Yei Ebuab, Irini Hatjaser, Semisekepi, Tua Enditunebu, Enditunefereya, Enditurereya, Enditu Emkutenmereya, Anuk Kere, Tua, Tua, Tua. Enk, Enk, Enk. Manifest yourself, water spirits of light. Thank you. I am you. I am a sacred vessel. I come with pure intentions. I do sacred work. Help me, please. Bring me a good life, good health, good love, and good income or revenue. Embrace me. Guide me. But please help me receive wisdom. Grant that all of this flow together harmoniously and with order in my life. I am a sacred vessel. I come with pure intentions. I do sacred work. Help me advance successfully. Thank you, water spirits of light, water spirits of the greatly good, great nurturers of love and great love and light. I'm in your hands. Many thanks to you. I offer you life. Okay. Give thanks that we have come to we're almost at the place for another winter solstice. We're here another year. That's a blessing. There are many who have moved forward into the next realm, and for those who have loved ones who have moved on into the next realm, offer you love, prayer, and strength, and understanding, and that you're able to glean the wisdom of the loved one who left. I've had many calls this year from people who have had folks who've transitioned. And as you all know, I lost my beloved Atefna Cher, Grandmaster Cam. Our community is still mourning at his loss and the great impact that he had on his life. But I'll tell you, the thing that he had on our lives, rather, but the thing that I tell you is that it is amazing how with every single day I think about the positive influence that he has had on my life and continues to have, and with so many others who look back and smile and think about the happy times and memories and the wisdom that we received from him. And, you know, as a peacemaker, because that was his work, he was a priest of Obatala or Obatala, depending on which tradition you come from in terms of how you pronounce it, Oshallah. The way that I observed him as a peacemaker, his work was masterful. It really was. And even with the way that I ended up coming to him years ago, was introduced to him by a brother I was seeing at the time, you know, and this was his spiritual father. And we hit it right off, you know, started having a really deep metaphysical conversation. But the thing that I really dug was this. he did not flinch when I told him that I was basically a sacred wise woman, gothy, hippie, witchy chick, you know. And he was like, all right, go on, you know. And always encouraged me to be myself. And, you know, let me just take advantage of explaining this at this point in time, because of the whole thing of finding internal peace and finding who you really are, being true to who you really are, which is another great lesson that I got from Grandmaster. And y'all know I'm an artist, but you also know that I do a great deal of work in terms of bringing people into other realms, helping them transition. It was a blessing to be able to do the same for Grandmaster Cam when he asked me to do that for him. He knows that that's the work that I specialize in. And also, in terms of the type of garb that is sometimes necessary for that kind of thing, basically wearing black. And ironically, because I am a child of Obatala myself, we have great lessons that we always learn about life, because we tend to see the world in black and white. You know, things are right or they're wrong. You know, they're this way or they're this way. You know, and having to learn the lessons of the wonderful shades of gray and all the different colors that exist in the color spectrum, and appreciating life from that standpoint, not compromising my principles, mind you. There's right and there's wrong, okay? And so I hold myself to a high standard and teach high standards in character development, in spirituality, in honestly being the best that you can be and not shirking on what that is by giving excuses or explaining away or minimizing. It is always about climbing spiritual ladder so you can be the best that you can be, and also so people can look up and be inspired by you, and not so you can look down on them, but so you can continue to ascend and help to pull others up. But the thing that Grandmaster kept saying, and other people have brought me messages that have reminded me about being yourself. So, you know, I was going to do the sacred white thing. And I realized when I had gone to Grandmaster and talked with him about wearing the sacred whites, because of this work that I do as a peacemaker on a number of different realms, he said that he felt that it was just an adepthood elevation spirit initiation, and not necessarily to marry myself to that. If it was deemed for me to be able to move on forward in that, then that would be the case. But not to compromise who I am, because after all, spirit shines through. And then shortly before he transitioned, I felt compelled to wear dark colors. And I called him to let him know that, and he said that was because Nebuchadnezzar was dealing with me, because Nebuchadnezzar is basically the angel of death, and she helps people in their transition through her energy. And so then after Grandmaster transitioned, I wore black for a little while, and then back into the whites, and then started exploring more of the colors in my wardrobe again. And I've come to the place of realizing that what is really important, at least for me, what will be so in my life, is just continuing to let my spirit shine through and give thanks. I am at peace with that. I'm at peace with that. So sometimes I'll be wearing white. Sometimes you'll see me in black. Sometimes you'll see me in a variety of colors. You might see me in bright orange. I'm designing an outfit right now for the season that is a really festive red with green throughout it and gold. So I just wanted to say that in case somebody runs up on me and says, what happened to the white? There you go. Okay. All right, so being at peace with yourself. You know, here's the thing I find very interesting about this time of year. This is a year where people get really depressed. They feel really alone. They start looking at the year that's gone by. They look at all of the goals that they had set out to accomplish and that were unmet, and start feeling like failures. people beat up on themselves a lot this time of year. Then there's a little societal pressure that happens with needing, well, people feeling that they need to buy this, that, and the other. I must tell you that the holidays, and yes, I do Christmas. I know where Christmas originates from. I know about the birth of Heru, you know, speculated at this time of year. Some say the spring, but whatever the case, and the importance of the solstice and all this. For years, I have done what Christmas means to me, and that's a family day. That does not make me any more, any less conscious. I'm aware, and I don't run away from the opportunity to be with family. Not anymore. Not at this stage of my life. Family and friends are highly important. Being with loved ones at special times is of great importance. And, of course, the whole idea of being able to create your own holidays, including like Kwanzaa, and all holidays, they were all invented at some point. Somebody made them all up. And so for the people who balk at Kwanzaa, listen, there are all kinds of issues with every single quote-unquote holiday that is recognized in this country and with the innovators. So why bang on Kwanzaa, you know? I mean, people don't talk about George Washington owning slaves on Washington's Day, you know. Let's be real. So anyway, so what I'm getting at is that in spite of looking at the heart of the season of lights, ancient Chemites, the Chemayu, had many festivals this time of year that centered around light. Festival of Nit, okay? Festival of Sekhmet. And all dealing with lighting candles. And the candle-making process in Kemet was a very interesting one. It said that they did not have the typical wicks, per se, that they would use like plants, dry plants, you know, for wick, or they would use cloth that was wrapped around dry plants and then dipped in oil. Look up the whole process of making candles in Kemet. And, in Tutankhamun's, or Tutankhamun, and his raided grave, they found a couple of candle holders that were shaped like Ankhu. They were shaped like Ankhs. Look it up. But light, centering yourself around light and focusing on the light, the good things that you have accomplished in this year, and not worrying about having to buy this, that, and the other. You know, I found that over the years, as my daughters have gotten older, we have not focused on really the whole thing about gift giving. We have focused on spending time with one another. And what's more important, you know? Now, for all y'all listening out there, that does not mean I don't want any presents, okay? I love gifts, and I do give gifts, okay? I love getting gifts. I love giving gifts. For all of y'all listening who have teachers, who have spiritual leaders, I'm doing an upcoming show on protocols. It is protocol to present your teacher with a gift, okay? Especially if you're in a temple. This is the correct thing to do, all right? Just a nice way of saying how much you appreciate the person, you know, during the birthdays and also during the time of year when, you know, we get around to the winter solstice. Yes, by all means, all are welcome. And then looking at the process of gift giving, okay, and people get all bummed out about that. And instead of experiencing stress, you should be feeling peace and joy about what you are sharing from the heart. You shouldn't be focused on whether it's this label or whether the person will like you better because you get this gift, okay? Or if your children are going to be bitterly disappointed, you need to teach them some lessons if your kids are focused on what presents they're going to be getting. I hearken back to Kwanzaa and Zawadi, and what it used to be anyway. Now Kwanzaa has become so commercialized, it's heartbreaking. But the notion that you are giving something that is meaningful, of educational value, something that is homemade. Oh, I love homemade gifts. I really and truly do. My sister friend, y'all know Sister Karen Hatter of Akeru Multimedia. She has been with Ashe, the TV and the radio show for a number of years now. She also is an amazing crochet artist, and she has sent me some of the most beautiful gifts. I'm just so grateful. And any time that a person puts out their energy like that in order to craft something new for you, that's truly to be appreciated, because that means that they lovingly put the time in to create it for you. So that should be considered. If the Kwanzaa are also, like I said, of educational value, something that makes you, that should make you think, something of cultural value too, like cultural clothing, cultural books, cultural art. So and ultimately, they should be things where people, when people receive them, they get a sense of inner peace. You know, remember that there are folks around the country who are truly going without, who are really glad just to spend time to receive something that they have not had because they've been trying to make things that have been outmoded work for a long time. Like computers that are dying. but you know, please forgive me. I'm in a bit of a playful mood today, and I'm glad for that, because laughter is something that I really try to get enough of in my life. But anyway, going back, though, to the whole thing about focusing on your inner light, what is right in your life, and also how to bring resolution within yourself if you are feeling as though you are coming short. During Nen, during the solstice, is a time to contemplate. And I always encourage people to make lists. You know, I used to make that a requirement in the temple. I don't do that anymore, simply because a lot of people end up feeling a bit overburdened with that. It can be a bit much where, you know, for some people, you know, some people make lists that are too long, and then when the year passes, it's difficult to meet everything and all that. But I do still recommend making a short list of the major things that you want to accomplish in the upcoming year, according to the Western calendar. You know, our Kemetic year starts in late summer. But anyway, so, and then also with finding a way to resolve issues in your family or with friends. You know, we think a lot about that during this time of year too, because sometimes people just don't know how to make that step and how to fix things. Being able to speak the words that will bring healing. It's a process. It is. So, anyway, let's talk about reclaiming that inner light as you sit in stillness. This is something I recommend for you to do on the solstice. Okay? Solstice means stillness. Jyoti, who stands in the lake. Lake is wisdom. It is ancient, ancient ancestors. He is stillness. And it is in stillness that you take the time to think things through so that you don't make rash decisions. If you're dealing with depression, I always say, do not make any rash decisions that are majorly life-altering, because chances are you're going to look after you get outside of the depression and say, oh, what did I do? You might have initiated something that is really difficult to undo. And during those times, you may invite people into your life who don't belong there, simply because you feel alone, simply because you aren't really thinking clearly. And, you know, that's also the greatest time when people who do not have your best interest at heart will descend upon you. It's shameful to say. So isolating yourself during times of grief, sadness, depression, in order to regain your balance and not stay stuck in the depression, but to honor what you're going through and to allow it to work itself through. You know, I have a friend who I check in with once in a while where she will say, you know what, I got to withdraw for a little bit because I got to get myself straight. It truly is. All of us need to take time where we realize that we're feeling a little out of kilter and we need to just stop and get ourselves together, you know? Okay, so first is to observe stillness. Observe stillness. Take the time to really think. Are you afraid of being in quiet? If so, what is that about? Observe and practice stillness. Within stillness, you're also able to take the time to pray and to meditate. Having the time to center yourself, term for center in Kemetic language is ek. To meditate is ka. And the ka is also the spirit. How about that? Kai is the word for being able to rise, ascension. Take time to honor the spirit. Doesn't mean you have to have a religion. Although religion is not to be frowned upon unless you use religion as your drug. But religion is a way to help you to get to the source. Okay? To get to the core. Core. Sort out what is yours and what belongs to somebody else. You know, we take on things sometimes, and it's necessary because we should help each other in this world, but sometimes we can get too caught up in what others want and step away from who we are. Focus on the steps you need to take to reclaim yourself. Not just silence and stillness, but also practice sacredness. What does that mean? What is sacred in your life? The things that are valuable to you are very telling of who you are. And it tells the world who you are. If you find yourself running after this, that, and the other, the question is why? You don't have anything that you hold dear in your life. Family, friends. Even hobbies. The question is why? Have you come to a place where you're so angry with life that you can't find anything sacred? The sacred in your life is connected to the sacrul, un sacrer, okay? Because you move out of rud, out of the root, where you have your family values that have been established, and your family has communicated also who you are to yourself, and then you take that knowledge of who you are and what you believe in based on what you have been what has been communicated to you from your family, taking the best of it, you know, maybe eschewing the worst of it, and then you move into the next level of life, which is the sacral. You take all that is sacred to you. You partner with others who also hold the same things sacred. You are able to create and be creative and experience a creative flow and experience levels of the divine because of that harmonious flow that comes from being in sync with who you are, being surrounded by and in the company of people who uphold the same values, who uphold the same interests. There is stagnation that comes when you don't feel any sense of connectedness to anything. When you feel that writer's block, you know, you aren't able to create. You may be a designer who has just run out of ideas. And it usually is tied to some emotional component that you have not shed. Because in the sacral, in Wutakler, that is where the energy center in the body that holds on to trauma. What trauma is keeping you from finding anything that is sacred in your life? Things that are sacred do not have to necessarily do with religion or spirituality. Okay, so if you are having trouble because your life is stagnant and you can't find anything that is sacred, then it's a good idea then to force yourself a bit out of isolation and try to reach out to find something that is meaningful in your life, you know. With stagnation tends to come isolation. With isolation tends to come shutdown. And so force yourself out of the house. Force yourself even to go into a house of worship. You know, you'd be surprised how, no matter what the religion is, well, no, that's not true. Be careful. But going at least to a very pretty house of worship, there's something inspiring about it. And, you know, try to find a place above all with people who are friendly and who have your best interest at heart in terms of community. Okay? In addition to that, getting counseling is not a bad idea. You know, these are the phone calls that I tend to get from people who are stuck and who are healing and who are trying to find that inner peace and need to find out, well, how do I get past this trauma that happened to me? It's important to get past it, to heal it, to work through it, not to pretend that it didn't happen, and not to sit in it and keep replaying it over and over and over again, but to find a way to work through it. And talking it out and doing practical exercises that are congruent with the situation will help you to be able to move on. In our tradition, we work with Heka'u, words of power. They are comedic affirmations that you do when in meditation, that you do even as you're just walking here and there. You just keep it in your head and keep rolling it over in your head over and over again in order to affirm and to open that energy within you to help you with moving on. It doesn't mean that just magically all of a sudden the next day you wake up and everything is better. It's a process, but this is our process. Observe and practice fairness. Are you a fair person? Do you know what fairness is? Now here we go back to the whole thing about ethics and people not really thinking about doing what is fair to others in their lives, or even being fair to the self, you know, being fair to your own self. We learn about fairness through the 42 oracles of Ma'at. It puts you in check in terms of what you do and how you proceed forward, how you think. And above all, it teaches you to be fair, because your behavior impacts on another's. And sometimes we can be short-sighted. I mean, goodness knows there are times where I'll do something and then get down the road a piece and then stop and think, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to say thank you for such and such. Or, you know, I forgot to acknowledge this person's birthday or whatever, and I go back and correct it. It's the whole thing about introspection every day, all right? Or, you know, well, maybe I could have phrased that a little differently. This is also why it's important to stop and think about what comes out of your mouth, because things impact people in a different way. But in terms of fairness, there are times when, okay, they say life is not fair.
And there are people out there who are just looking to just get whatever they can from you. And unfortunately, we have more of those in numbers than we do of people who are out to do the right thing, simply because it's been taught in society that getting over is the way. So you need to really check yourself and think about if you have been entirely fair to people. Sitting in the position that I sit in, listen, I've made mistakes in judgment, and especially when it has come to giving people more credit than they really have deserved. And let me just say this right now, and I mentioned this in the show that you're going to see, the Kesu, the video ritual. Listen, if you have really done something that's been supremely jacked up, like if you are involved in some situations that are really reprehensible, and you come and tell me in order to get it off your chest and then supposedly to try to start on a new foot in life, but then you continue in what you came and confessed to me, and on top of that, then I see that what you're doing is a danger to the community, do not sit back and think that because I'm a minister that I'm just going to sit back and keep my mouth shut. I ain't doing that no more, okay? It's not fair, because it's not fair when you're continually hurting other people and they don't know what the real story is. So our ancestors in the sacred writings talk about the importance of speaking out when it is the correct thing to do. There are times where, yes, you hold your tongue. I have the secrets of people from all over the world. Y'all have no idea what people are going through. You see some people on social media where they're looking all happy, but then some of them, you know, where they have to be talked down from the roof. There's a lot going on with folks. You really, really don't know. And I hold on to that. But if you're a danger to the community, that's a problem. And then it is my lack of responsibility in sitting back and just watching it happen. Okay? So that means think twice before you come and tell me about something you did, and you're claiming you're trying to get your life together, but that's not really happening. And then you go on to the next person, the next person, the next person, and you're causing damage, all right? I'm just letting you know right now. Okay. With that, observe your own behavior patterns. Do you cause confusion? Do you seek out confusion? Now, these are big questions. You know, there are some folks who kind of lay up in the cut, and they watch all of life going on around them, and they seem like they're innocent and nothing's going on. But then all of a sudden you find that they're instigating. They're quietly instigating this, that, and the other. Why? Because they're excited with watching the show. You are entertaining them, and so keeping the confusion going is exciting to them. That's the sign of a really poor and underactive root. Your root is really out of whack. And then also there are some people who thrive on confusion because that's all they've known in their lives. They grew up in a confusing household. They go out in the world, they go out and start and maintain confusing households. They seek out people who live in confusion and don't really work on straightening out the confusion. They make excuses because the confusion has become as comfortable as a comfortable old bathrobe. But just like the bathrobe, after a while, it gets played out and worn out, okay? So if you are living in constant confusion and have tried to find some kind of peace by justifying it, then you need to really stop, sit down, take a look at that. Own all of your behavior. If you cause confusion because of the fact that you've got a big mouth and you don't stop and think about what you say, if you cause confusion because you are selfish and you just do what you want to do without giving thought to others, if you cause confusion simply because it's a little too quiet and I need some excitement, okay, you, stop, look,
the whole thing with, I mean, this is, we do deep study in Akerun Temple of the True Living Waters on the Aritu and all the characteristics that are that go along with them and you and how you function in the world and why you function the way that you do. Being responsible for your actions, accountability, brings peace to yourself. It brings reality. It's a reality check. Jahuti deals with truth, truth. And once you finally own the truth ain't always pretty. But it's about knowing yourself. Reki im ebi. I know my intentions. Ebi means heart. My heart. Ib means heart. Intention, thought, mind. I know myself. Reki im ebi. Reki im ebi. Excuse me. So with that, you need to establish order in your own life before leaping in to correct someone else's. You know, folks out there who are busybodies, they have a whole bunch of junk going on, but then they're really quick to try to jump in and straighten out your life or do what they perceive to be a straightening out, perceive to be straightening out your life. Usually that's because they're lacking control and don't want to face it, but because of their own sense of a loss of control, they will go and find other situations where they can control it. Establish order in your house before you go to clean up somebody else's. Okay? Do not give in to partiality or emotions. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Now, we talk in the 42 principles. We recite about not giving, not being easily incited to action or contention. And you know how there'll be folks who'll come along and everything is, oh, and blah, 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 and they're just trying to get you on their side, you know? And you're all caught up in it and feeling for the person, but then not really stopping to think, wait a minute, is this person overreacting or is this something that I really need to get caught up in? It could be sometimes the person's not even telling you the truth. see, here's the thing also. Cause folks will put onto the grand display. We get caught up in that. But you don't realize all of a sudden that you went from being in this place of peace to now having your peace disturbed. Okay? I stop and assess all situations when people bring things to me. Not only because of the role that I sit in as a queen mother, and the queen mother is not just some glory title. It's not. It's not a glory title at all. For those of you who think it is, it's work. It means that you've got the community trust. That means also that you have to carry yourself circumspectly. That means also that because of the wisdom that you carry, or that you're supposed to carry, that you are able to give ear to a lot of other people and help them with their situations by giving sound advice. And also practical information for, like, if somebody doesn't have food, well, you can go here. You know, if you need this, you can go here. I mean, that's being queen mother on the real, all right? It's not about sitting back and having people balance grape to you. It's work. So you've got to know your community. And but that also means you've got to know how to stay centered enough to assess a situation so that your own peace does not get disturbed. That's some work. Trust me. Trust me. Heed the wise words of those who practice peace, including and especially advice on avoiding the peaceful person's foes. Do peacemakers have foes? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Doesn't mean we're looking for them. I mean, listen, you have enemies just from living. You just mind your business and people are out just hating you, you know? People will get mad at you because of the fact that you're not allowing yourself to get caught up in their stuff and you're not letting your peace be disturbed. And, you know, you can give advice, but people may not always like what you say. That's just the way that it is. So, yeah, there are enemies out there. But let me tell you something. This is what I have learned. If there is somebody who is a peacemaker, who has had an experience with someone where the person is really considered dangerous, or is someone who is a troublemaker big time, I heed the advice. I've learned this the hard way. There are a couple people out there Grandmaster told me to watch out for, all right? Grandmaster didn't talk about nobody, all right? I mean, so when he said, watch out for this one or this one, I listened. I learned the hard way because at first I tried to do the peacemaker thing and deal with these people, then found out exactly what the heck he was talking about. Duly noted. Duly noted, okay? So when you have venomous people who are out there who have shown themselves to be venomous, and the way to make peace, that is before, you stay over there, I'll stay over here, okay? Because venomous people are out there seeking to pull your peace away from you. That's the truth. And you have to absolutely protect yourself and protect your peace. The more work you do as a public figure, especially, the more haters that you have. You don't even know them a lot of times. People just sit back imagining all kinds of wonderful things going on with you and don't realize the reality of what you're dealing with. It's important to do prayers and rituals that protect you as well. We do that in Akeru too. Yes, indeed. And as a result, this keeps you being able to focus on maintaining your peace and not putting all this energy into who the haters may be out there, all right? I mean, you've got to really live your life. I'm going to share this with you. Now, I wrote this on my refrigerator the day that Grandmaster said this. This was on August 13th, 2013. He said, it's not about comparing or competing or worrying about what others do. It's about being and doing. If it is true and complete, it will stand and remain. So you just focus on doing what you need to do and don't let your peace be disturbed by others. Okay? That's the biggest thing I can tell you for the season, especially because so many get caught up in, well, who's going to get this and who's going to get this. Focus on your internal peace and your mission in this life and why you are here. Not letting anybody deter you from your purpose. We all have a purpose for being here. When everyone functions accordingly, we find peace. When everyone respects accordingly why others are here, we find peace. You know, there's so much more to share about Yehudi. I'll have to save that for another time. I can tell you that, I want to share with you, I'm going to be down in Baltimore with with Siva Heru and his community. Please go to my personal website and also to the Akeru website, to our events page, to find out. We'll be celebrating Winter Solstice there. I am so very pleased to be able to share with you again this week. If you want more information, please visit our website. Call me at 646-228-1185 to find out more about personal classes. And also join us for Sunday service. Check the schedule at the website. We look forward to seeing you and fellowshipping with you. Be at peace. Know that you are loved. Meriah.